It's a privilege to be here, and I want to encourage everyone here today. God can change anyone, anyone's heart, through the Word of God. And through the Word of God, He can bring 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold increase. That is the title of the message today. I'm going to begin with my testimony, how God changed my life. I was born in Japan. I was a cute baby. Was, past tense. That's what people often tell me. Opportunities to go to the U.S. because of my father's work, and I learned how to speak English. I'm very thankful to God for that opportunity, for letting me be brought up in Japan. As I grew up with my two other brothers and my little sister, here's a picture of us visiting Niagara Falls, and I used to look like a girl. People tell me, don't go into that washroom. That's a boy's washroom. And I was bullied a lot. As I went into middle school, the bullying got worse. People used to call me Mushroom. You can understand why. My father put a bowl on my head and cut my hair straight. And it was a very dark period of my life, very lonely. I pursued, maybe I wanted to be acknowledged and be accepted by my family, by my friends. I studied a lot in a Japanese culture expects students to really study hard and get good grades, to go to a good middle school, good high school, good university, or they're not acknowledged. So I studied really hard in middle school. I played with my friends maybe once a year, considered suicide many, many times, very empty. And I went to the best high school, but I was so empty. I wanted to find what is the purpose of life, and I went the other direction. This didn't bring any satisfaction. Started to work 70 hours a week. I had 3 jobs. I partied, hanged out with the wrong friends, and went down that direction, deeper and deeper into sin. And none of that brought satisfaction in my life, and I needed Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you about the stories of my brothers. He was pretty cute, too. And then in middle school, and then high school. He got kicked out of high school because he was very, very violent. He would try to kill me with a knife as well. Very dangerous. So this is my brother, Kaz. Here's my other brother, was cute. And this is him in middle school, with silver hair. That's my two brothers. And then turned out to be like this in high school. He had a tattoo over his body. He would fight yakuzas on like boxing matches. Extremely dangerous. Can you imagine seeing these three guys walking down the sidewalk? I mean, people would avoid us. They would look away. They would walk, you know, different directions. Imagine what my mother went through with these three kids. Very discouraged, very hurt. I remember my mother not being able to get out of bed for days and weeks. She would often tell me, Tuck, you were the worst son of the three. And I don't want to even mention how bad I was. Why did we turn out to be like this? The problem with the heart. That's the cause. Let me share a passage with you. Matthew 7:21-23. God's word says, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. All three of us, we used to attend church. And I attend church on a weekly basis. I mean, I was really bad, so I stopped attending church. But my two brothers, we can count with my both hands how many times they missed church in their life. So attending church does not change the heart and make that person a Christian. Like a person in a garage doesn't make him a car. Christ and God is the only person that can change someone's heart. So we want to look at today the Gospel of Mark and see how God can change the heart and how God can change a person. So let's open our Bible to the Gospel of Mark today. Here's a well-known teaching by Jesus Christ, how he can change a person and bear fruit in their life. How can someone change an inside and not only in the outside appearance? Jesus speaks about the four different soils to illustrate a spiritual lesson. All people have these four different heart conditions. Some people have a very hard heart. You've met a lot of those people. Some people have a rocky heart, thorny heart. The last one is the good heart that will accept the word of God and change and bear much fruit. Now let's look at each one of these and we'll make an application at the very end. Now the first one, before I want to go into this passage, let me first explain what these different things are that are mentioned here. What is the seed? The seed is the word of God, the gospel seed that is planted. We find in the Word of God, the good news about Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins on a cross. And when that seed is planted and accepted by that listener, that person will change, his heart will be changed, and will bear much fruit. Now, the second thing that is mentioned there, the sower. Who is the sower in this passage? Now, that is you. You are the sower who plants the gospel seed, the gospel. We are all called in a great commission to go and make disciples in all nations. That is our calling, to go. And we can do this anywhere. This is also a mission field, to plant the gospel seed in those different soils, the heart. So let me ask you a question today. Why do some soil produce fruit and some don't produce fruit? Is it the problem with the seed? The word of God? Absolutely not. The word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is like a hammer that can break the stony hearts. So there's no problem with God's word, the gospel. Then is it the sower's problem who gives the gospel? Is it their fault? Well, God's word is very clear. I believe that is not the case, because in this parable, we have very little information about the sower. It's not the technique of the person. It's not how well the person does, the cleverness of the evangelist. Now, the problem is with the soil, the heart. So let's examine these four different soils and see which soil describes our own heart condition. The first one is the hard soil. Let me read from verse 3 of chapter 4 of Mark. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed the gospel seed, some seed fell along the path, and birds came and devoured it. Here's a picture of a path. The traveler will walk on it over and over again. And what happens? Because it's stomped on so many times, it becomes hard like concrete. As a result, the seed may fall on that place and cannot take root, and the birds come and eat it. Now, Jesus explains this soil in verse 14. Jesus says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. their hearts have gradually hardened more and more because of sin. It was stomped on over and over again, has become hard like concrete, and they would not listen to the word of God. They reject it. And Satan is plucking that word of God. Now, you've met people like this. Here is a picture of my father. And my father had a very hard, hard heart. After I came to know Christ as my Savior, I was passionate about giving the gospel to my dad. I would explain the gospel to my dad and say, "Dad, you need to believe this. Jesus died for you." But sin has hardened his heart so much, just like the concrete, and it would just bounce. And he would tell me, "Tuck, I'm not scared to go to hell." I said, "But Dad, it's burning. It's going to be hot. It's not going to be a comfortable place." He said, "I do not care." My mother even gave up on praying for him after several years. And I said, "Mom, I'm praying for Dad." And she would tell me, "Just give up. Don't even bother praying for him. He'll be the last person that will accept Christ." But I want to encourage you today, that's not the case. God is powerful. He answers prayer. Now let's look at the second soil here. The second soil is called the rocky ground. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. Immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. So in Israel, there is a lot of rock that lies beneath the surface. So because of all this rocky ground, the seed is planted. It takes a little bit of root, but it can't go any deeper. So it is not able to get nutrition. It's not able to get water. What happens? Because of, you know, how hot it is there, because of the heat, the hot sun, it withers away. Now, Jesus explains this soil in verse 16 and verse 17. Here's what it says. "And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy." Now, this was not true conversion, only an emotional reaction. Joy and enthusiasm. Examples will be maybe children accepting Christ because they want to make their mother happy. Or maybe it's like a competition with their brothers and sisters. Oh, they're getting baptized. Okay, I want to too. I want to make them happy. Verse 17 says, "And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." Trials and persecutions will prove who are true believers. This was me. I had this rocky heart. When I was a little boy, my mother asked us siblings, "Would you like to accept Jesus and to get baptized?" And then my brother said, "Yes, I will." I looked at my brother and my mother smile. I want to be accepted too. I want to get baptized too. Me too. And I remember that. And I got baptized for the wrong reasons. And I first accepted with joy, enthusiasm. But then trials came. Storms of life came. And I immediately left the faith. I was angry at God. Because I thought being a Christian means, oh, I'm going to be happy now. There's going to be a lot of good things. And when that trial came in my life, there was an instance where I broke up with my girlfriend. And I became very angry. And that's why I didn't want to live in Japan anymore. Mark chapter 4, now verse 7. Here we have another third soil that is mentioned here. soil with thorns. Let's read. Others' seed fell among thorns. The thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Now, this soil at first glance looks like a normal soil, because usually farmers would burn this thorn. As a result, there's no more thorn, but what is left are the roots of that thorn bushes. They'll plant the seed in this soil, and they see growth, right? It seems that there's going to be a great harvest, but soon the root of sin grows very fast and rapidly and chokes that plant, and there is little fruit. Now, Jesus explained this in verse 18. Let's read verse 18 of chapter 4. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who bear the word, but notice the three things here. The cares of the world, these are the root of sin. The deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This person didn't truly repent of their sin. They were double-minded. They did not truly repent from the desires in their old life. They have hidden roots, materialism, love for money, immoral sin underneath his heart, and love for those fleshy things grow and takes over his heart. And they begin well, but time will show that they did not love God. We have examples of this in Scripture, right? Like Judas, a man who had a privilege to be able to follow Jesus, to hear him speak. But Judas had a hidden sin in his heart, didn't he? The roots of sin, love of money. And he betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now, let me ask us here today, do we have any sin beneath that soil, that heart, the root of sin that we have not truly repented of yet? There were three things that are mentioned here. The first one was the cares of this world, caring about these things of the world more than we care about God. What is distracting you? We can indicate this by how much time you spend in it. Is it sports? Spending many hours in front of a television? Browsing the internet? Some are distracted by just having fun. Maybe it's a vacation, planning trips, spending time with friends, activities for children, non-essentials. And by the way, all those things are not wrong in itself, but Satan can use those things to distract us and choke us. Hidden roots of sin. The second thing that is mentioned there that often stumble believers is the deceitfulness of riches. Are you content or discontent with what you have? So you want to work more, many more hours. You want to go up that ladder to have that dream position or job. As a result, you are sacrificing your time with your family, or you sacrifice your time with God. Has that become an idol in your life, that root of sin? 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Pierced themselves with many, many sorrows." Damaged relationships, destroyed families, and the list goes on. Now, there is a third thing that is mentioned in that passage that affects believers, is the lust for other things. Now, the word lust there means passionate desire. What are you passionate about? Other things. Now, there are three things that a lot of people become so, have this passionate lust, and they fall. And those three things are money, that was already mentioned. Another one is sex. Another one is power. Do you allow these three things, sex, money, and power, affect you and choke you? My two brothers, they were like this last soil They were just like, they had this thorny heart. In the beginning, they did show some examples of growth, but they did not repent from those things, that they still had that root of sin beneath their heart that grew very rapidly as they grew up. Wrong friends, wrong things that they were watching, influenced and choked them eventually, and they were living in those sins. Now, I want to look at the last soil at this time. When a seed falls on the good soil that God has prepared, there will be a change of heart. There's going to be great fruit. From verse 8, other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now, during that time, just getting maybe 10-fold, multiplying it by 10 times is a lot of increase. Having 30 times more, having 60 times more from that one seed, 100 times more, that is only by the work of God. And God is able to bring this kind of increase from one seed that is planted. Now, Jesus tells us in verse 20, two characteristics of this good soil, of this good heart. He says in verse 20, but those that were sown on the good soil are the ones, two characteristics, they hear the word, but it doesn't just end there. What are they doing? They are accepting it, receiving it. It is convicting them. The Spirit of God is at work, and they apply and obey the word of God. As a result, we have 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. There's great fruit when a person hears a word and receives it. Now, let me show you a picture of my sister. Some of you are wondering, what happened to her? She was normal. I asked my sister later in my life, all three of us turned out so bad. What happened to you? And she said, I felt bad for my mother. And she had a heart that was willing to hear the word of God, and not only that, to receive it, to accept it. Praise the Lord. Now, here's an application from these verses. When we go out witnessing or sharing the gospel, you meet these four different people. People who has this very hard heart, right? Completely closed. And then you have these people, rocky, thorny, maybe they're a little bit interested, but eventually it'll show, right? If they were really genuine or not. And then number four is the good soil. Now, I like to use the illustration of a traffic light. You have the red light, they say, stop. I am not interested. Now, don't even talk to me. And they look away. Have you met those kind of people before when you're sharing the gospel? I think you have. There are many of them. But then you have also the green light. I've met some of these green light before. They are very few. But these are the people that God has been working in. They have the soil, the heart, that God himself has tilled. It is ready to believe. They're convicted of sin. All they have to do, you have to just tell them the word of God, and they're ready right there and believe and accept Jesus. And I met some of these. And then there are the between, and there are many of these at different levels. The yellow heart, and they also need to be brought from this red to this green, where they will be ready to receive it. Okay. Now, this is what we are doing. And I want to encourage you. It is sometimes so discouraging when we are sharing the gospel. We meet so many of these red light, this yellow light people. But I want to encourage you that they are these green lights. God has prepared his people. All we have to do is to go out and share the gospel with. We don't know what their heart condition is, right? We can't see from the outside. God knows. Give the gospel to everyone. And some of them will fall on the green that God has prepared. And you need to focus on those. Focus also on the yellow. They are close. God is working in them. So this is the philosophy of maybe ministry. what we are doing in Japan as missionaries. We go out first to the empty field. We decided to go to Japan and have an entry plan. And then second, we give the gospel seed, right? The word of God. You give the word of God to different people. And you don't know who is the green light. You give the gospel to everyone. And then you have growing field. And we need to have a plan of discipleship. And in Japan, we are using small group Bible studies to help these people to understand who is God. But a lot of people even don't understand who is God. There are more than 80 million gods in Japan. So you tell them about the one creator God. You tell them about how Jesus came to die for their sins and bring them. And when they're ready, they accept Christ. And we go to more different fields. We start churches, right? Start local Bible studies and then start a local church. And we want to multiply this cycle. The more workers we have, the more disciple makers we have, the more gospel seed that are planted. The more gospel seeds that are planted, the more growth you'll see, the more fruit you'll be able to bear. Is that right, everyone? And we are able to do this together, to send out more disciples, train more disciples, train more people to give the gospel. And you have more growth, have more fruit, and this will multiply. This is God's plan. This is what Jesus did with his 12. He trained the 12, and the 12 went out and discipled others. And now we are here today. The gospel spread around the world. In closing, let me share a story about how one missionary came to Japan. This missionary's name was Tony Woods. He had an entry plan to go to this field of Japan to give the gospel. This is about 35 years ago, about 40 years ago he came. He had an opportunity, a ministry, to start teaching English in a high school. And as a result of that, after several years of ministry, there was one lady, about a 17-year-old girl, who accepted Jesus Christ, the first fruit from this ministry. And this young lady, this is her picture, it's my mother, the very first Christian in our whole family. And that's me right there on the bottom, and Tony Woods with his beard. And we were so thankful. But you know what? After several more years of serving in Japan and ministering, there was not a lot of fruit. The mission board in the U.S. finally said, Tony, you're very ineffective there. I want you to leave Japan and go to a different country. He went to Australia instead. But he was so discouraged. My work was in vain. But I want to show you what happens from this seed that was planted in this good soil, this good ground, remember, this green light, and how it multiplies after this. This is Mrs. Woods, Tony Woods' wife, and my grandparents. My grandparents hated Christians. Did not want my mother to go to church. So she would hide the Bible so she wouldn't be able to attend church. But they accepted Christ about 10 years later, after my mother accepted Christ. Wow. And not only that, my mother has one sister, and she was in jail. And my mother decides to give the word of God, the gospel seed, to her sister. And she also accepted Jesus as her savior. And her life was radically changed. And here's my father. This is the before and after picture of my father. And my father here, after many years, I was in Canada pastoring a church. I get a phone call from Japan, and it was my dad. And he was crying on the other line, like a baby. I couldn't understand him. And he said, Tuck, I cannot change on my own. My wife left me. Yeah, my mother left him, and she disappeared. She abandoned her car, address changed, no Facebook, no email. We had no idea where she went. And she told me later, I didn't want to tell anybody where I was because my husband would kill you. So my father calls me after 2 months of this incident. She left, she's disappeared. And he said, Tuck, I want to know how I can become a Christian. And we started that Bible study. The word of God again is powerful. And he started reading the Gospel of John, and he couldn't stop reading the Gospel of John. And I was doing a Bible study with him. He couldn't stop. I said, okay, Dad, stop. Why don't you just read it on your own and let me tell me what you think. And he read it in one night, 21 chapters. He tells me, he emails me next day. He said, "Tuck, I still can't accept that Jesus can change water into wine. I'm a scientist. He has a doctorate degree in geology." He said, no. And I said, "Okay, Dad, God can do miracles, right? The science can't prove. I want you this time to read through the book of Romans and tell me what you think." And he read through the book of Romans in one night again. Wow. 16 chapters. And he emails me back and said, "I like this book. Now I understand what is Christianity. If I believe in Jesus, I can believe in his miracles." I said, "Great, Dad. Read the Gospel of John again and tell me what you think about the miracles." And he read it in one night again. And emails me back and said, "I believe." And he was ready. He accepted Christ as a Savior. And I told my mother, "Mom, your husband just said he will accept Christ. He wants to be baptized now." And my mother said, "I was just seeing him in heaven. I'm not going to see him again." But after several months later, God convicted her again from the Word of God. The Word is powerful, everyone. And we have to receive it. And look at the change. And this is at his baptism. Now, what happened to me? So I went to Bob's University and I cut my hair. And I'm wearing a suit. So I look good from the outside, but not inside. You can tell from my face. I was very empty. And I needed the Lord. So what happened? There was a guy who reached out to me and discipled me, did Bible studies with me. The Word of God again, planted in this good soil. And I was ready. God has convicted me. God used many people. He used this one man, Adam Johnson. And here's the before and after. He did a Bible study through the book of Hebrews with me. And he did the Bible studies every week, 1 hour to 2 hours every time. He had a girlfriend. He was taking classes full time. Work. He sacrificed all of that to sit down with me 101 and do a Bible study. And this is my passion to do in Japan. And this is what I'm doing in Japan. Bible studies. The Word of God is powerful. It can convict, change anyone's heart. Oh, my brother. So my brother, he got kicked out of high school, and no high school would accept him in Japan. So he had to go to Malaysia to a Christian high school there, and the Word of God changed him and got saved there. And now my brother is studying, getting a PhD, and he is in PhD in biblical archaeology. Nobody thought he would be able to get a doctorate degree. And he is now going to Israel on a regular basis. Wow. He's training future pastors and missionaries to go out. Do you see this increase, everyone? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, here's my other brother. He got saved as well. He got kicked out of high school and accepted by this other, the same Christian high school in Malaysia. And God make him look younger, too. This is his high school graduation. But now, he is a worship pastor in Missouri. He just recently wrote a book about discipleship. And God is really using, just from that one seed that was planted in this Christian girl, this high school student, multiplied. You see this? So here's our four siblings. And my sister now is teaching at a Christian kindergarten in Japan, right? Planting the gospel seeds in the young children's heart. So we give praise to our great and mighty God, who's mighty to save. And now, here is our family. Now we're married, children, and now we're discipling our children to do the same. 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold increase. And I remember Tony Woods was kicked out of Japan. We're able to see him, and we're able to tell him, "Tony, your work in Japan was not in vain. Because of that one seed that you planted, look at this multiplication that happened after 35 years. Wow. And this is what God can do in your life when you are faithfully sharing the word and giving the word of God and discipling. He is able to bring this 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold increase. And the question is, how did God change our hearts that was so stony, so thorny, so hard like that concrete? Somebody was praying for us. God is able to soften any heart. And that was my mother. And I didn't know this, but she was praying for us every single day. And God softened our hearts and allowed us to be able to receive the word and to accept it and to bear fruit. If anyone here is discouraged, I want you to know that God hears your prayers and can soften and change any heart. Would you continue to pray? God can do a mighty work. If there's anyone around you that are open to the gospel, to the word, I encourage you to meet with them on a regular basis. I told Adam, you know, the guy that led me to the Lord, I told Adam, your answer to the prayers of my mother. And Adam put his arm around me and said, no, brother. Adam said, Tuck, you are an answer to my prayer. And Adam said, I have been praying that God will bring someone into my life that I can disciple. Would you also pray that God will bring someone in your life who you can disciple? Amen.